toe, bouncing with that drop. KCP in the middle, bounce, Larry.
Get out of that double team.
With the head fake. What a move by Hakeem Olajuwon.
Levine, he goes right. Oh!
Does anybody know how to post videos?
Yo, what's going on? Welcome to another episode of the Drop Step Podcast. No home team today. You got the big three, me, Houston. Book the hook, fellas. What's going on?
What's good with you, man?
Another day topping it up, baby.
Another day talking about NBA basketball. We got quite a few things to talk about. A lot of big things have come across in the last couple of days. You know, a couple of rookies have signed big shoe deals. Mm. The biggest rookie has signed shoe deal, literally and figuratively, has signed his shoe deal. We'll touch on that. We'll touch on Jimmy Butler. News came across one of the decisions that made him go to Miami over Philly, and it's a weird one. So we'll touch on that too. We'll talk about Iggy as well. He's still with the Grizzlies. Are the Grizzlies going to buy him out of $17 million? If so, where will he go? And depending on who he goes to, can he get that team over the hump? We'll touch on Steve Kerr, a couple of comments that he made about players and contracts. You know how people feel about players and contracts, and a big-time head coach is coming out to speak about it.
He always got an opinion.
Right. Anthony Davis, he got 1 foot out, 1 foot in L.A.
He's gone.
Wait for that one.
He's gone. He ain't gone already.
We'll get to that too.
Come on now.
And we'll also touch a little bit on Trae Young's basketball camp that's going on this weekend. But first, let's start off on the rookie scale. Big boy, Zion Williamson made his decision on where he's going to sign a multi-year deal with the Jordan brand. I believe the numbers are 7 years, $75 million or something like that. Big contract to be literally the face of the Jordan brand. We know we have Russ, you know you got Chris Paul, but Zion is now taking the reins over as the face of the Jordan brand. Let's talk about it.
I think that's a good look for him in a way, because everybody's going the Nike route and people are trying to venture out, going Puma and stuff like that. You haven't really heard too much about what is Jordan trying to do to keep his brand alive. You've got all the legends that you have from like Melo and CP3. You even got Russ, who's a younger current player, right, with the brand. But who's going to be the one that can possibly take Jordan to that next level? I think you did a pretty good job landing Zion with that one.
Bro, I think this is a huge get for Jordan brand. Like they. And it's shoes is my thing, man. So this one was kind of, I was waiting for this one to come out to see where he was going to go. And honestly, I didn't have Jordan Brand at the top of the list. I thought Puma would be a little bit higher than Jordan Brand. Really? Because the affiliation with Jay-Z and being able to kind of push him and kind of guide him toward that direction. There was nothing really made of Zion to Jordan Brand, really.
But at the same time, a lot of these guys, even coming out of college, many of these guys had affiliations with Jay-Z, but did we ever think that maybe Jay-Z wasn't affiliated with the Puma brand then when some of these other guys were coming out, but has Jay-Z really ever, do we ever think that he had any type of that level of connection with certain guys where he would push them towards certain things when it came to shoes?
He made a presence at some Duke games. I mean,
and
Zion definitely, mentioned Jay-Z as being his favorite artist.
Absolutely.
Even still as a young cat, you know, that kind of blew my mind. The relevancy that Jay-Z still carries to where an 18, 19-year-old could say that he's his greatest, his favorite rapper.
Right.
You
know? That's
so,
wild.
I thought that connection would carry over a little bit into it, but I think it's a huge get for Jordan Brand. Jordan usually doesn't get the big rookie like this. Usually signing, they sign rookies here and now. They actually signed, what's his name, Rui, the Japanese kid that went to Washington.
Right.
He actually signed with Jordan Brand as well.
But usually he's going for somebody who's already been established in the league.
Right.
He's not going for the guy who hasn't proven himself.
Exactly.
Yet. So, yeah, that's to me why I was surprised. Like I said, Jordan was nowhere on my list. I still had Nike kind of high on this list, but then again, maybe that shoe busting out has a little bit more to do with it than not, that he –
Yeah, but we all know, I looked at it like all shoes on Nike aren't created equal. And the way Nike can build certain things based on the body frame of an individual, right. I have to give that to Nike as being the number one and being able to, okay, if there's a problem with a shoe, if we get a special guy with a special build like Zion, it's going to take our engineers and our creators and our designers, it's gonna make them put even much more effort into trying to design a shoe that's specifically for him.
That's a good point, because I mean, if you just take their top three selling shoes on that label or on that brand between LeBron, PG, and Kyrie, three totally different shoes for three totally different types of players, you know. So one thing that
so why does Zion go with the PG-13s, you know, a wing player who's agile and all that stuff? You know, I would think you would probably go with more so the LeBrons, bigger build, you know, not as agile, more support for your ankles. So what in the world make you pick a PG-13? Probably just because it looked better at the time.
And maybe it was comfortable to him. And we're having this conversation now because the man literally bust out of the shoe.
Yeah.
And you know, had an injury.
You know what's crazy too? Because when he came back from the shoe, the PG bursting on him, he came back in a Kyrie. Versus coming back in a bulkier
shoe that's going to give you a little bit more ankle support. Like, dude, you're 285. Like,
LeBron's are heavy, though. Those shoes are heavy.
Yeah, they are heavy, but, dude, you heavy as it is. You can't be trying to make these cuts and trying to turn around. Like, your trunks aren't built
he's
for
heavy,
that.
But he's very agile. He's nimble.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, the way he glides up and down the floor, he's a big boy. There's no mistake about him being a big boy, but you know, he needs something to wear. Not only it fits his size, obviously, but it fits his as agile as he is and as nimble as he is in the way he wants to move. Cause sometimes on the court, he moves like a ballerina.
So then maybe we should get him some football cleats and have him out there like he a linebacker, because I mean, seriously, he needs something different than shoes that just busting out the seams.
Well, throw him in some 11s, make some 11s specific for him if the 11s can support him, and then just throw him out there.
Idea Ferry, maybe if he just go ahead and lose the weight, then we wouldn't even have this conversation.
Well, maybe the weight plays into his factor. That's what made him the player that he is.
One thing that's going to be interesting is what Jordan decides, like the timeline that they put him on as far as getting a signature shoe. I'm really interested to see how that happens, because Russell Westbrook been on Jordan brand since, I don't think he signed as a rookie with Jordan brand, but it was early on in his career.
I want to say like 3 or 4 years.
Right. Yeah. So he just got his first signature shoe 2 years ago.
Right.
His on-court signature shoe. Year before that, he had an off-court signature shoe, but it took him a while to get to that level.
But that's the Jordan brand, though. They don't usually go out and give you the signature.
Are they going to Zion on that same timeline?
The signature is Jordan, and you're not actually wearing Jordans, you're wearing Team Jordan. So I think that's part of it. It's like he's still trying to keep it to where it's his name that's really coming first, instead of really putting the shine on, oh, it's this athlete's shoe. Because even though Russ has his own shoe, you still don't look at it like, oh yeah, that's Russ' shoe. You still just looking at it like it's a Team Jordan shoe. Like, I used to have Mellos back in the day, you know, one of the worst shoes I ever bought in my life, but you know, like, it was a Mellow shoe, but it wasn't. It was Team Jordan. Yeah. And still, when I rock them on my feet, people looking at me like, oh, he ain't got no retros and nothing. Ain't got no
I think
teams.
Zion changes that. I really think Zion changes that. And I would love to have been a fly on the wall in those negotiations just to kind of see, like, what's your plan with Zion as Jordan Brand? Because that's unique. You got a really unique player in Zion following literally the name of Jordan, so you can't treat that one like every other circumstance.
You can't, but that logo, man, that jump, man, is so grand. It is so big that even with the following that Zion has and the nature in which he came into the league with, bruh, for people to be able to look at that shoe and say, oh, that's Zion's shoe just with the Jumpman logo on it. You ain't gonna have too many, bruh, that's a Jordan brand shoe. It just happens to be Zion's shoe. It's always gonna be that Jordan brand first, then the individual that comes after. Why? Because nobody's bigger than Michael Jordan.
Of course.
We're going from one Duke star to another. Locally here, Cam Reddish signed with Nike. Happy to hear. I'm really intrigued. We don't know the details first of what his deal is. We don't know how many years. We don't know the money involved. But for a guy who I have a lot of hopes for coming into the league, a lot of people are still wondering about, you know, how he'll fit here with the Hawks, what his role will be. For Nike to grab him, I think do you think he'll have a signature shoe at some point in time, or do you think it's going to depend on what role he plays and how he develops?
He's going to have to end up being our 1A or, you know, possibly second star on our team for him to get his own signature shoe. He's not coming out and getting a signature shoe and then he's just a role player. So we're going to have to hope that he actually develops a game to where not only is he a starter, but he's that guy who's putting up 20-plus points a game.
Yeah.
You know, he's got to put up the numbers and he's got to get the highlights out there for Nike to really say, okay, yeah, you get a shoe. Because they're not just going to give it to him. Just,
no.
You know. Well, you got to think about it, man. It's a really exclusive
club
group of guys that have a signature shoe on Nike.
Right.
Other brand, Adidas is a little bit more open.
Well, because they gotta have guys on their line.
Right. You know, right. They need the names to carry Absolutely. The brand versus on Nike.
Our name is what it is.
Exactly. We solid.
So we good.
You have Kyrie, you have Paul George, and you have LeBron James.
Oh, let's not even forget a retired superstar.
And Giannis now, exactly.
A retired superstar and Kobe.
Yeah.
You still have the signature Kobe shoes that are still very popular to this
exactly.
day, and Kobe's been gone for 5-6 years.
Yeah. Right.
So
right.
you're talking a handful of guys, literally four active
right.
and
one retired
that have their own signature shoes. So as a rookie, signing with Nike, you're almost saying that this is a good faith contract, basically. Let me cut my teeth, and if I'm able to perform on this contract, then let's renegotiate to the potential of a signature shoe. I don't see it in the cards for him, just based on that club being kind of exclusive. Cam Reddish doesn't fit among the LeBrons, Kyries, PG-13s, and the Kobes yet at this point.
Yeah.
So it's going to have to be proven to me.
Let's make sure we throw that word in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And those are real big high hopes for him to be put in that class of
absolutely.
Players. But y'all know how high I am on Cam Reddish. You know, I've been in this corner from the jump, you know, obviously being the third star,
mm-hmm.
right, kind of the forgotten star at Duke, because he had a couple of sparks, game winners here and there, but most of the games you were wondering where he was. It was always Zion and RJ. But I'm really looking forward to see with him getting this contract with Nike, Nike having good faith in him.
Yeah.
And also seeing how that kind of, you know, kind of sparks him on the court and the way people kind of see him moving forward. I'm really interested to see how he plays this season.
That could be, I mean, the part to put them over the top is him being part of that gel, you know, on the offensive end. I mean, you know, I hope that it is a similar situation as last year. I wasn't high on Trae Young coming to the Hawks, but as soon as he held up that Hawk jersey, I was a Trae Young fan. Same scenario with Cam Reddish. I was not on the Cam Reddish bandwagon, but now that Cam Reddish is a Hawk, that's my Cam. Don't mess with my Cam.
But it's like, once you draft him and once you hold up the jersey, it's funny that you say that, because at that point, you ain't got no choice.
You ain't got no choice.
Right.
You
know, exactly.
What I'm going to do? Like, hey, on my team, I ain't going to hate on them, man.
You going to stand outside of State Farm with a boycott sign and say, we don't want it?
I'm not going to lie. Every time I see Trae Young post something saying, keep that same energy, I'll be looking at myself in the mirror like, man. No, I ain't keeping that. It's switched. Totally opposite. Totally opposite.
Draft day, well, before draft day, leading up to draft day, a lot of us wanted Luka.
Yeah.
We were like Luka. But also, I think from a sponsor standpoint, how he fit in with the city, we were also concerned with how do you brand Luka here in Atlanta.
No doubt.
Right.
With Trey,
Ice Trey, Trey TL was such an easy fit. It just flowed. It was like, you know what? I'm good.
Right.
If you told me Trae Young was from Atlanta, I damn near believe it at this point.
And
I love the way that he's, like, the city's accepted him. He's accepted the city,
right.
Ingratiated himself in the culture down here. So he was meant to be here, you know. So I hope it's the same scenario for Cam and that we can get some positive production out of him moving forward. So congratulations on the contract.
Congrats. Yeah. Congrats to both those guys.
Absolutely.
Both big-time players that have high hopes in the league. But we'll move over into from rookies into an all-pro. And all-pro, I mean Anthony Davis. He is now officially a Los Angeles Laker.
Yeah, like, we did that last, like, what could he possibly have in the news right now? Like,
I'm finna let you know.
Okay.
I'm finna let you
Red
know.
Alert.
I'm finna let you know.
I'm like come guy, on, bro,
this,
we did that.
Because y'all know, as a Laker fan first, this got me on my heels. This got me feeling some type of way. Man ain't bounced the ball for the Lakers yet. He barely done put on the Laker jersey.
He done switched numbers twice on y'all already.
Right, right. By no fault of his own. But my thing is, he ain't bounced the ball for us yet. He hadn't put on the game jersey yet. He may have put it on for a photo shoot, but that's about it. But Now, they got him in the media talking about playing for his hometown team, the Chicago Bulls. And he said, well, you know, if the time is right and I have the opportunity to do so, I would love to do it. Bro, can we get you on the court in the Staples Center for at least one game first before you start talking about other teams and going to play for them?
Calm. Please, chill.
No, ain't no chill.
Let's really think about this. What player does not want to play for his hometown? As a kid, the dream is to bring a championship to your home. LeBron just got done doing exactly that same thing.
I'm fine with it. So, I just don't want to hear from you right now.
But if you ask the question, what you're expecting?
It's a Captain Obvious type of question and answer. I never want to play for my home city. I cheer for the Bulls all my life. I don't want to play for them.
As the resident Laker hater in the room, I was prepared to come in and absolutely have fun with this one. But the fact that he was asked the question, it's not like Anthony Davis, you know, was caught, you know, just having a conversation with his mom, like, man, I can't wait for the day I can come home and play for the Bulls. You know, so.
We don't know that.
I mean, he may have had that convo too.
I don't know that.
But when you're asked the question, I mean, it's just like Houston said, I mean, that's everybody's dream. I mean, what's he going to say? No, I would never in a million years want to play in a horrible city like that. If you were in that position, you would want to come back, potentially play for the Hawks, put one in the Raptors. Even if you had the opportunity in LA, I would imagine at least.
Just the opportunity, just to at least try. Look. You talking about the one guy down here who, I ain't going to the Hawks.
If I was in that position, which I had half the talent, half the money, I guess I'd be like, okay, maybe. You know, it's something that you would think about. But, you know, he went on this grant. Man, you know what? I know it. I know they asked him a question. All he was doing is answer. But you know, as a Laker fan, you know it's kind of like, let him dribble for us first.
I ain't even gotten the best out of him yet.
I want him to at least win one tip off first before y'all asked him.
But the first people I thought about was LeBron and then him.
Right. No. LeBron's sitting there like, hold up, man. You already trying to mess up Taco Tuesday?
Bro, he told me this yesterday. He was like, first two people I thought about, he went from LeBron into me. He don't know no Laker fans between LeBron and me. It went from LeBron to me.
Just turn your hat around for the people. Let the people see what your hat look like right now. That's why.
They know it's real. And folks, anybody that really knows me knows I wear my hat backwards anyway for the most part. We'll transition on to another all-star who made another decision to transfer from one team to another, and that's Jimmy Buckets. Had an opportunity to sign a max deal.
Gonna start calling him Jimmy Bones.
Okay, Jimmy Bones.
Lay him down. Like 15. Like
okay. Jimmy Bones, Jimmy Buckets, whatever you want to refer him to. Had a chance to sign a max contract in Philly and to be a part of something even more amazing that's going on in Philly right now, along with Tobias Harris and Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. Obviously, he chose to go to Miami, and Philly has chosen to take on Al Horford. Mm-hmm. They got $400 million contracts on their books. That's not the problem. Well, the funny part, shall I say. The funny part is one of the reasonings for why he chose to go to Miami. From what I understand, the man was playing dominoes in Little Havana in Miami, enjoyed the aesthetic and the scenery so much that it became one of the reasons why he decided to go to the Miami Heat.
So you mean to tell me that he was sitting at like a family reunion function playing dominoes, looking at the sand and the water or whatever it is you got in the skyline of Miami, and he said, you know what, this is home now. That, like, why in the world is dominoes your deciding factor to go to Miami? I don't think it was the dominoes.
Also said the winning nature of the Miami Heat.
Just came from a team that was in the second round.
I'm just a messenger. My name's not Jimmy Buckets.
You know what I picture?
Winning culture of the team, but that team didn't make play. What are we doing here, Jimmy?
I picture Jimmy down there.
It's the scenery.
Oh, well, all you got to do.
It's Miami.
You remember the video for Shake Your Tail Feather? The Nelly and P. Diddy joint.
Right. Like,
that's Jimmy Buckets. Like, that's the life he wants. Like, literally, that video is what got him to Miami. Like, it's a strange day in the NBA, bro, because dudes are making decisions on, like, how much did he leave on the table? $50 million?
Something like that. Like, he left enough for you to cringe.
To go to a team that's definitely, this is not even, I wouldn't even give Miami a playoff seed at this point. I wouldn't give them,
Fringe eighth seed.
Exactly. They'll compete. They'll compete because he's in the building now, but, I mean, outside of that, I mean, there's nothing that Miami offers that Philadelphia can't basketball-wise. So,
dominoes,
see, to me, if I'm making that deciding factor, I'm going to say, no, there is one deciding factor. It's going to be that tax, them taxes.
True. Oh, like, no state income tax.
No state income taxes in Miami. So
you can't win that back in dominoes, though.
Why not?
That's a high-stake domino game. Like, I don't know where you finding them high-stake domino games at all down right, there.
Touche. I mean, that man sitting there in his with his little straw hat.
Got a fedora.
You know, sitting at the table. Got the you know, slamming them down on the table.
And they had nothing to do with them bones. It had everything to do with what was around the table.
Yeah.
Everything around the table.
The tail feathers.
You know. Look, I'm not knocking the man. The man got more money than I could ever wish for. It's his decision. He's a free agent. The point of being a free agent is being free.
I think that this is.
Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. And this you bring up a good point, and we actually talked about it yesterday. Like, cats are literally making their decisions on where they land at in free agency based on things that are so far from winning. Like, winning does not matter. Like, Jimmy Buckets did not make that decision based on winning.
Right.
It was not a decision of, I'm going to chase a championship.
Winning was the last thing on his mind.
Right. Kevin Durant making the decision to leave the culture that got him to three straight NBA finals, leaves. So immediate winning was not necessarily the factor in him going there. Mm-hmm. So it's just a strange day because guys, like, winning is not the fuel that fires them necessarily.
I will say this, because you brought up KD. And guys like KD and guys like Kawhi, and even LeBron to an extent when he came to L.A. Because when he came to L.A., L.A. hadn't made the playoffs in like five straight seasons.
Right.
The difference between with those three guys versus Jimmy is that when you win a championship or even more, you have much more leverage to move on without feeling that level of guilt.
I think, yeah, it's not so much that they don't want to win, it's they want to win their way.
They have more options.
So at the end of the day, it's not about, okay, like, KD did the whole teaming up, making a super team, and you saw what happened. He got trashed for three, almost 4 years about making that decision. So what does he do now? He goes back and says, all right, well, I'm going to do it a whole different way now. That's what a lot of these guys are doing. But in Jimmy's case, yeah, you're not thinking about winning no championships. It's straight up, you want the scenery. You want that nightlife. You want to be Will Smith. Hey, baby, you know what I mean. Yeah. I mean, you want that. Yeah. You're not looking for what's going on in between them lines.
And far be it from me to be a hater. You know, when you got that kind of money on the table,
oh, yeah, do you?
And they're offering you this, and you can live the type of lifestyle that Jimmy can live. Look, man, look, get your money. I'm all for players getting their money however
money,
I see fit.
But
when you're in a day and age where a lot of guys are trying to move around and they want that coveted ring and they want that coveted Larry O'Brien trophy, you would think somebody like Jimmy Butler, who may not be a superstar but is a star, would want to have that on his resume, but I guess not.
In fact, to me, it's actually kind of contradictory to what we've seen this past season and a half with him, because it seemed like he was all about winning, you know, leaving Minnesota. Like, yo, these guys don't want it. They're not tough enough. They don't want it.
That's real
get to Philly, you've got the better culture.
Right.
You see the winning actually taking place.
Right.
You were a game seven away. You know what I'm saying? You were Kawhi Leonard in the corner over Joel Embiid away from going on to the Eastern Conference Finals. So you to go to that to now to go to Miami, a team that couldn't even make the playoffs. Like, bruh, now you're totally contradicting what it seemed like we were all starting to praise you for. He's a hard worker who likes people hard working around him.
Maybe they build it around him in Miami over the next 2-3 years. I mean, maybe that's what sold him on going to Miami. The fact that he'll be the centerpiece moving forward, and that potentially they can bring in some other pieces, build it around him. I don't see that blueprint panning out, but maybe it was something said like that.
That means that Jimmy Butler is your number one option, and let's be honest, raise your hand if you really think that Jimmy Butler is your number one option on the team. Okay, thank you.
True.
Well, I also want to say, I don't know what other plans Miami has. You know, there's been a report out there that whenever OKC wants to relinquish Chris Paul, that could be a destination for Chris Paul to go. Now, this ain't the same Chris Paul from 7 years ago.
Right.
He's getting older. He's injury prone. But when Chris Paul is healthy, you know, as far as setting players up and putting them in the right position and having that court vision, we all know there's not too many guys better than him.
Even in the East right now, if you put Chris Paul and Jimmy Butler on the same on that Miami team, I still don't think you're getting above a 7 seed.
Oh no, absolutely. They're not winning 1, not 2,
no,
not 3. We won't have that anymore.
No.
We're not doing anywhere
but
near
you're
that.
You're about to go in to get LeBron over there.
Not 12.
LeBron trying to just make the playoffs, not once, not twice, not three times. He's just trying to get to the playoffs in consecutive years in LA. This is getting to the playoffs.
Hey, one thing I will say on this is the fact that I think that with these guys being, I won't say erratic, but like non-predictable with their decisions as far as their free agency, I think that that makes for more parity in the NBA, you know, because you don't know what a certain player, like player A may be driven by this, and right, that will determine his decision. But player B, C, and D, they may be fueled by something completely different. And I think that makes it a better NBA because everybody's in contention then. You may have a guy that, man, I really love cheese and beer. I got to go see what Milwaukee Bucks talking about, bro. Like, seriously. I mean, if Jimmy Buckets is going to Miami based off of Domino's, like,
right,
shoot, if you love cheese and beer, I'm going to go holler at the Bucks.
If I like my wings honey hot with lemon pepper sprinkles, I'm going to hit up Atlanta.
Come talk to us.
You know? Well, I want to go. I want to get a nice little Philly. I'm going up to Philly.
Yeah.
You know, so some guys have very weird, because guys with this money, you can go get whatever food you want with the money you have because you have the means to do so anytime. So it's weird. Dog, you chose to sign a 5-year contract here, or you decided to sign this contract here because of Domino's, because of a Philly cheesesteak, because of this, because of that?
Like I said last week, once you get that number in, once you get so many zeros right at the end, the number in the front don't matter.
Because so many other things come into play.
And Jimmy Buckets has proved it. Like right, the number of zeros don't matter once you get to a certain one.
Absolutely.
Like, we said it last week. Like the guys are starting to realize now that we have that power, it's not about always using it to get the most. It's about really just formulating what we think is best and most comfortable for us. I actually like the fact that they are taking that approach and saying like, hey, it don't necessarily have to come in all the dollar amounts right now.
Right.
It's gonna come in other ways. You
Absolutely.
Know what I'm saying? Other ways of accolades, excuse me.
Right.
So I just see it, Jimmy, I hope that this works out well for you. I still don't see it coming into the playoffs anytime soon, but bro, Domino's?
Well, I got to say two things. For him, as long as the outcome is income, and two, get paid, young brother, get paid.
When you said Domino's the other day, the first thing I thought was, they ain't got Domino's pizza in Philly?
Don't they have Domino pizza everywhere?
Like, cause I swore you meant that versus actually playing
no,
Domino.
That's the first thing that popped in my head. I'm talking about slapping around. bro, if he went to Miami for some Domino pizza, bro, really?
When you first told me, that was the first thing that popped in my head, cause there ain't no way he went to Miami to play Domino's. Like, dog, they must not have Domino's pizza in Philadelphia.
Let me have found out he went to Miami cause of Domino's pizza.
Man, I'm sorry. You going to Miami for anything other than possibly winning or your money is a wrap for me because, simply put, you can get that Miami beach weather and play dominoes any time of the year you want. There's only so many games, so much time you're going to be there during the season anyways.
Right.
You can have your beach house there and in the off season.
You ain't lying.
I mean, heck, you're not making the playoffs no way. So,
well, he'll have a lot of time to experience that wonderful weather, the ladies and everything else down there, because they won't be playing a whole lot of basketball down that way. So speaking of leverage and money and contracts, we had a prominent coach in the NBA, Steve Kerr, head coach of the Golden State Warriors, come out and talk about a lot of the moving pieces this offseason, especially from guys who've had multiple years left on their current contracts to talk their way out of one franchise and into another. With the likes of Anthony Davis, Paul George, two of the biggest stars in the league, came out and said, look, he thinks that it's bad for the league that players can talk themselves out of deals when they still have years left on their contracts. Talk to me about this.
I'd almost agree with you, but to me, that doesn't come on the players as fault. That comes on ownership. That comes on your management. Y'all are actually letting them get away with this then. So if it's really that bad of a deal, then y'all got to stop it. All you got to do is say no. You're going to sit it out. You'll sit right here.
Bro, we talked about something similar last week, like once the Paul George trade went down, that the OKC Thunder GM Sam Presti had to have gotten some calls about, bro, like, what are you doing? Like, you just giving up the whole farm to everybody, you know? Like, anybody that wants to leave, you're going to let them leave. That's what Steve Kerr's commenting on. Like, that's not necessarily a phone call to Stan Presti, but that's a message to him. Like, right. He's putting that message in the media, and that's directed at one place,
right?
To the GMs and the owners that are allowing these players out of these contracts. I mean, you have a contract, you're under contract, your contract out. That should be the stance.
Do you fault Presti, though? Because at the end of the day, we've seen what this OKC team could do. And me being from Oklahoma and my cousins stuff, they talk about it all the time. Like, that team was great for what it was. It was, if they weren't going to be able to keep what was their big three, Harden, KD, and Russ together all that time, it wasn't going to work. So I think that these last few years actually have just been kind of a trial thing for Presti to see, like, okay, what can we get out of this? They tried it with Paul George. I think they weren't never really totally sold on it. It's just, we need the piece. Mm-hmm. But if he ain't happy, then fine, we'll break the whole thing down, because the only piece left that you're worried about is Russ. So what's going to happen? You're going to end up shipping off Russ too, so that way you just get a clean slate and do it all over again. You did it before. Mm-hmm. You drafted KD. You drafted Russ. You drafted Harden. You know what I'm saying? So you have what it takes to get it done. You're not worried about, okay, that player right now. For one, Paul George is injury prone. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you already got to deal with the fact of, how long is he going to be on the court all season anyways? How effective is he going to be in the playoffs anyways? So, all right, yeah, we'll let you go. Russ, you're my only real piece left. And as much as we love you and you know this city loves you, it'd be best not only for us, but it'd be best for you to go somewhere else. I think that's probably how I went with that. Now, Kerr might be right as far as if you see this trend pick up even bigger. I mean, we're really only talking about two players right now who've done it. Big time players. But if you see that trend continue on, mm-hmm. where like the big time players are now all of a sudden like, oh no, man, I still got 3 years left. No, next year I'm out. Y'all gotta give me, if you start seeing that more, then we might have a problem.
I'll say this though, you probably won't see that a lot, because there are only so few players that can do that.
Right.
The upper echelon of the upper echelon of players in the NBA only have that leverage to where they can walk into management's office and say, I know I have 2 or 3 years left on my deal, I want out.
But just so you know, when them 2-3 years done, I'm out.
Right.
You know, so yeah.
Now, on the flip side of this, I do understand what Steve Kerr is saying, but I don't really care. I don't really care what he's talking about. I'm gonna tell you why. This plays into the NBA being such a players' league. It's another thing that falls into the players' lap. You know why? Because if I can leverage myself and I can walk to, and I feel as though I had a cachet to do so, and I can walk into your office and say, you know what, I want to go somewhere else, this is not working, this guy is over here, I'm going to force your hand. Because you know at some point in time, you're not going to get the best out of me. So at some point in time, you're going to realize that, you know what, I'm not getting the best product on the court. I got to see what I can get. That's what Sam Presti did. I got to see what I can get for Paul George. I have to see if I can move him. And he got a boatload back from the Clippers. The Clippers mortgaged the farm, basically.
Did he?
I think it also plays into, and it may not necessarily be the NBA, but we look around sports, especially like college football. A lot of these coaches who still have years left on their contract, if they see a better job open, where do they go?
Oh yeah.
Lane Kiffin did it one time at Tennessee. He left Tennessee for USC.
Burnt the campus now.
I'm talking about them coaches are like, oh, they get a scandal, they quit, and right. A year later come up with a whole different job somewhere else.
Absolutely. Like. So if coaches have the authority at times to do what they want to do, even with years left on their contract, are they making the money that the players are making? No. But you're talking about a leader of men who chooses to say, you know what, there's a better situation somewhere else. I know I've devoted myself to you guys, and I know that I said I am your leader, and I'm gonna lead you to the promised land. But I'm gonna take this opportunity elsewhere. What do you say to those players? What do you say to some of those guys?
This is where I stand on it. I think it's a great trade for OKC.
Right.
They did what they had to do. But there's a cause and effect in everything.
Right.
OKC got as much as they could possibly get. Just like you said, Paul George walks into the room, says, hey, I want out. I won't be back after this contract regardless. So at that point, you got to determine, you know, you bought low, now you got to sell high. So that's exactly what they did. But the cause and effect comes into play where they got paid, but now that kind of sets the precedent moving forward. It's just like setting the market in other sports. Like if a team decides to overpay for a specific position, then now that position is the market is bumped up. And teams are looking around at that particular team like, right. Bro, why did you pay him so much? Now you just jammed up what we trying to do over here negotiating with this guy. So it kind of works similar ways because like they've now thrown off the entire precedent of the NBA to where I think that, just like you said, it's only a certain number of players that can do this today.
Right.
I think moving forward, it trickles down to where you don't have to be that big of a player. Because if you are a role player, a key call to a team, and you walk into management and say, hey, I've got 2 years left. I won't be back after those 2 years.
Right.
What are you going to do? You know, you have to decide at that point whether you're going to hang on to it, lose it, get nothing for it, or if you're going to sell it now and get something back for it.
Because the longer you wait to trade, even if the guy has 2 years left, you still have 2 years of control.
Yeah.
But the longer you wait to trade, the less you could get back over time because teams may not be as eager to give you certain things because 30
uncertainty.
Minutes. Right. A year, a season, from one season to the next, it's a different world in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Things change. Those draft picks that were available to you last year are not going to be available to you this year because other things transpire. So when you got a starter walk into your office and say, hey, or a role player, prominent role player, like you were saying, hey, I'm not going to be back after these 2 or 3 years, what are you going to do? Oh, it's best that I get what I can now because I may not be able to get this later.
I think it's going to get ugly. I mean, I really think that, and it may not happen soon. This may not happen for another 5 years in the NBA. Right. But I think this trend is something that can, and it has the potential to really, really, really shake up the NBA because anybody can do it.
So then what is the point of the contracts now? If that's really what we're going to get to the point to where, yes, we're doing what he's saying in the NFL, contracts might as well be made out of toilet paper, right?
Yeah.
So what is that going to do for the NBA when that becomes the trend? Now, contract might be made out of toilet paper. I signed for 5, but I'm only going to give you 2, maybe 3, and now you got to get rid of me. Like,
well, I also think that there are still going to be situations where a guy could walk into a team's office and they say, look, after 2 years, I'm going to go. They'll still hold on to him for those 2 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're still going to gamble because every situation is not created.
Absolutely.
To where, okay, I may have to get rid of this guy even with 2 years left because I can get this back for him versus this guy. I can still hold on to him for the remaining 2 and still get something at least that resembles what I think I can get at this point in time. So all of them are not going to be created equal. Some teams are going to sit there and gamble and say,
absolutely,
maybe we can get him to stay. Depending on the success we have, other people are going to say, oh, we know he's not staying. Let's go ahead and move him.
Yeah.
So even with that being said, all situations are not created equal, and it depends on the player and how important that player is to that said franchise. We got another player that's been very important for a franchise. He's helped him win a few championships. That's Iggy. He's now a Grizzly. We don't necessarily see him fitting in well with the Grizzlies. You went from a championship team and a dynasty that you've been with to help win a few championships to a team that's
lottery bound.
Yes, that's fresh, has a couple of young pieces in Ja Morant and Jackson Jr.
Mm-hmm. Lottery bound. Put like this.
Yeah.
Okay. Lottery bound.
Okay.
And Iggy, you're worth more than being on a lottery bound
team.
All right.
Owed $17 million.
Owed $17 million, which I'm pretty sure Memphis does not want to bite that bullet. So you could, but for what? Because as good as I think Iggy is, he's not that piece that's going to take that Memphis team to the next level.
So just buy him out.
So you buy.
There is no piece that takes Memphis to the next level. Right.
So you go ahead and buy him out. So where is he going to end up?
Well, reports are that the Lakers are saving their one roster spot, hoping that Memphis will buy him out and they can slide him in at the vet minimum.
I'm starting to really feel weird about this Lakers team and LeBron and
were you
team.
Not already?
Well, yes, but you know what? It's just irking me even more because this dude really does just look at the Golden State Warriors and whatever team is like, oh yeah, dang, they gave us a run for the money. I'm gonna grab everybody that y'all had that beat us and I'm gonna put them on my team.
Right. But you know, it's not even like that anymore.
Well, no, but that's what he's doing because he goes and gets Danny Green.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He goes and brings in JaVale McGee, you know what I'm saying? He brings in Boogie Cousins, you know what I'm saying? He does all this stuff like, okay, yeah, y'all a championship because y'all just beat us. Let me go get y'all in. Like,
Bruh. But at the same time, even with Boogie, you get Boogie on the cheap because Boogie's not the same player that he was, that we knew him to be before, after the Achilles injury.
True, but still, my point is, like, it just looked like more like you just biting. You just biting styles a little bit too much. Like, you can't beat them, join them. It's like, heck, I can't join them. Shoot, I can't beat them. So let me just try and dismantle them and get whatever they don't really need.
Free agents, you're free to sign. And a lot of those guys saw it as, oh, that's LeBron and AD. Let me go play with them. And True. Some of them took less. So even though LeBron may have been saying, okay, come play, but a lot of these guys saw it, like Danny Green. They asked Danny Green why he signed the Lakers. They got LeBron and AD.
Yeah. Let me ask y'all this.
And they paid him $15 million per year over the next 2 years to get him.
Yeah, he got the
Danny game. Green got screwed by Kawhi Leonard, period. That's my ledge. He got screwed.
I'll get screwed by Kawhi Leonard for $15 million per year.
I think Kawhi made Danny some money, honestly.
Well, yeah, okay. No, think about it. I think Danny Green was cool playing that James Jones role. Just follow Kawhi around to collect these rings.
Okay.
And because you couldn't get Kawhi to sign on the dotted line first, another domino, another chess piece is, let's go ahead and bring his running partner right now over here. That gets him, makes him more enticed to come over too. It just didn't work out that way.
The Lakers overpaid him because they knew exactly what you said, because he would have went with Kawhi, so the Lakers paid him more than what the Clippers were willing to.
But did you see Danny Green's face? Did you see Danny Green's face when he was having to bite that bullet, had to make that announcement about being with the Lakers?
And I did.
Oh, man, he looked like he, I'm sorry, about Kawhi being with, he looked like he was depressed. He looked like that, like, dang.
When he check
man.
His account, he won't be. He won't be when he check his account. Kawhi ain't that good of a friend.
When he put out that video announcing his decision, I didn't look at it like that, because I looked at it like he could have, yes, he wasn't playing with Kawhi anymore. He wasn't playing with the guy that led him to get a championship.
All right.
But you ain't going to no slouches. Yeah. In LeBron and AD.
Yeah, but you're going to two injury-prone superstars.
And Kawhi ain't necessarily been the healthiest.
Kawhi's had...
So you're going to a dude that's coming off shoulder injury, and you're going to a guy who, even though load management has worked for him, he's only going to play a certain amount of games.
Right, and then still even...
LeBron's going to be fresh.
Even in the playoffs, Kawhi was very hobbled towards the end of that. So
I got a question for y'all. Let me ask you, if Vince Carter was given the minutes and the role that Andre Iguodala is given, do you think he could be as effective?
No.
No?
The defensive end.
Okay.
Yeah.
And okay. I don't think because I think Iggy may be, what, 3 or 4 years younger than Vince?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Vince doesn't move. Can still move.
Okay.
Vince moves like he's a retired player who's, you know, trying to get, you know, a little bit. I mean, he's still a lot more up than most other people, but he still moves a little bit more old man-ish, whereas Iggy, he looked like he's still a 20-something-year-old kid running out of that.
Only reason I even asked that was just because I don't know that landing on Memphis would be the worst thing for Andre Iguodala.
No, the worst thing would be you just not in the league. They buy you out, nobody calls
and picks
you up.
Well, I mean, obviously, I don't think that would happen. He's got landing spots. Yeah. That does happen. My thing is, why? What incentive would Memphis have to buy him out? That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money to pay him to not play.
They don't.
So first of all, whoever he ends up with would have to, you know, share a chunk of that change. I would imagine.
Or they would just trade him.
Right. Or just trade him. But my thing is, Andre Iguodala getting long in the tooth, obviously on the back end of his career, could he not take over that, you know, mentoring role in a substandard type of team?
So basically be what Vince Carter has
exactly.
been.
That's why I asked.
To the Dallas, right. And, you know, all the different teams he's going. Okay, yeah.
Yes, but I don't think he sees himself like that.
I don't either.
This is why I don't think he would take on a role, because he still sees himself as a guy who, if I go to the right team, a la the Lakers, a la the Clippers, or a la a team that's going to compete for a championship, I could be the thing that tilts this scale over, because I don't have to take over offensively.
Right.
And I'm another defense. Imagine him going to the Clippers with the defensive pieces that they already have.
True.
And he can hit big shots. He may not. He shoots 33% from three. He may not
clutch.
Be the best three-point shooter. But you're talking about crunch moments when the lights are the brightest. It's not too many guys you want shooting the ball over Iggy. We've seen it time and time again. Mm-hmm. So he can help these teams who are, you know, any team 1 through 4 or 2 through 5, you go to one of those teams, that could push them up, bump them up maybe
for
a
sure.
spot. Because of what he brings to the team, what he's experienced over the last 3-4 seasons that a lot of those guys have not.
You just brought up, like, I'm surprised I didn't think about it. Him going to Houston, wow, that fit. Like, for him to be able to, he'll be able to leave a lot of that defensive pressure that we have been trashing James Harden about over the years. He'll be able to come in and do that. So
yeah, then you got Russ and him on the perimeter.
Yeah, that's mean.
It could get, if the Grizzlies buy him out, it could get real. That fight for Iggy could get real ugly.
I don't buy him out. If I'm Memphis, if I'm Memphis, bro, you're gonna have to come see me at the bank.
Cause I know,
seriously,
right.
Like
right.
For real, like because like just like you said, he's capable of putting another team over the top, but he's not necessarily as valuable to me. But I know that, like, so I got him in my back pocket. What you willing to pay for him?
You gonna give me a couple? You gonna eat his contract? Give me a couple of draft picks?
Yeah, no doubt, bro.
So it's gonna be interesting to see what Memphis does with Iggy. I know this weekend we'll touch on it quickly. Trae Young has his basketball camp here at Norcross High School Saturday and Sunday. I know Houston and I will be there, but I don't think
I'm gonna come out. I'm gonna
come. You gotta come out there, man. Come on now.
What are we looking forward to? Who do we expect to see? What do we think we will see? Obviously, we don't know anything until we get there.
I mean, it's a youth camp. So, I mean, you're going from, what, first grade to, I think, 12th?
So, yeah, it's grade school.
Yeah, it's grade school level. So, I mean, as far as stars and stuff, I'm not even looking for a whole lot of stars.
Oh, of course, right.
Trey's enough for me. What I'm looking forward to is how he's going to go through and put them little kids on skates. I saw an IG video of him like right before
because
he was just
in Oklahoma.
He was just in the Drew League and but right before that he was in Oklahoma for a camp and he had like 4 or 5 of these boys on him and he was just through their legs coming to the backside. You know, one boy was they were trying to go on a fast break or something and they lost his teammate had created a turnover, so these boys were on a fast break going back, and he hawking down this, like, 10-year-old boy. Yeah, looking like LeBron.
Hey, the block. That is the best defense you will ever see him play. That is the best defensive play you will ever see from Trae.
I'm 10-year-old. I'm looking forward to that. Well, 10-year-old, whatever. The fact he was cooking, and these are little boys who trying to play defense, but their hands and they're fouling and doing all this.
Right.
And you can see he's like, oh no, he got enough control. He know what he doing enough. Ain't none of that bothering him.
Right.
He's going everywhere with it. So.
You know, the crazy part about it is, you speak on that. When I look at a lot of these guys that have these camps, bro, they show no mercy on these kids.
Right.
Y'all remember when, I forget whose camp it was. It might have been Michael Jordan's camp, but he showed up at somebody's camp and he said, Mike, if you miss this shot,
everybody
gets shoes.
That was at Chris
Paul. CP3's camp, y'all.
Like, anybody getting no free shoes on me?
No, it wasn't even about the free shoes. Like,
you
I'm not losing.
You got some of these kids, parents, cousins, sister, brother, standing in line for your shoes early in the morning.
Hey.
That was a chance for these kids to get some free shoes, and you nailed all these shots like the killer you are.
Cutthroat.
And you killed these little kids' hopes and dreams.
I love it.
I liked it too, but I'm just saying, Mike, come on, dog.
Hey, I'm super excited to see, like, see what Trae Young, I think this is his first one, right?
Yeah.
His first camp here in Atlanta?
In Atlanta.
I'm excited, man. I'm excited to see what kind of turnout he gets.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to see if any other ball players show up out there as well. I'd expect it to be a good turnout, you know, as far as kids, you know. It's surprising, you know, like we were talking about earlier, you know, as a second year player in Atlanta, like, his name already rings bells, you know, so to get people to come out to this event, I don't think will be hard for him, you know, which says a lot about him and the way that he's kind of, you know, made a name for himself in Atlanta.
Right.
It's going to be real interesting to see what he does on the court for the Hawks next year, man. Like, it's, y'all know how I am. Like, only time I jump out on the ledge is when it's about the Hawks.
Right,
like, I'll jump on the ledge when it's about them.
You've been on quite a few shaky limbs.
I said 30 wins last year. They got 29.
Oh, but so you was right there.
Halfway decent.
You was there.
That limb a little sturdy.
A little bit, you know. So, bro, I really think that a 20+10 season out of Trae Young in his second year.
Oh, that's definitely a possibility.
I don't think that's outlandish.
No.
And I think that something, doing something like that or being on pace for something like that at the halfway point of the season will get him some all-star consideration as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think that we in line for it.
Well, especially if we come out in the first half of this season and we're actually doing really well. We look like we might be a playoff team and stuff like that. I really look forward to seeing, for one, him possibly getting that 2010, but also John Collins being more of a double, a consistent double-double machine.
You're looking like at two guys 20 and 10 then.
And I'm looking at two guys who are possible all-stars coming out of the East. Especially like, especially if we do end up anywhere from that six seed range, which to me is kind of possible. We're still young, but we've got enough talent.
Eight, seven. If you can get in a seven seed, amazing.
But see, that's the thing though. We were in so many games this past year as a 29 win team.
Yeah.
There were at least 8 to 10 games that I could think of that easily could have been flipped if one shot went down to two shots, if that turnover didn't happen. Mm-hmm.
But this that's where the transition from the first year to the second year comes in, where the first year you may have not been able to finish those games, but now that you have that experience under your belt, know what to do and what not to do in those situations. The second year, you may not even find yourself in those situations because you take care of business ahead of time. Or if you find yourself in that situation, you know how to get it done.
Yeah.
You know how to get it done. But one thing we also got to mention is that 680 The Fan, the station that we're here at, will be handling most of the media stuff there at the basketball camp at Norcross High School this weekend. So it should be a fun event. Well, that does it for the Drop Step Podcast. Catch us on Apple Podcasts. You can now catch us on Spotify, Google Play, if I'm not mistaken.
I think I had that whole Google Play thing wrong. We're not even going front.
Okay.
I got you right here. Apple Podcasts, Spotify. We've got the YouTube channel, and we're on YouTube on Atlanta SportsX. We're going to try and see if we can get up on the 680 YouTube as well. Oh, Caitlin's over here giving me a thumbs up. Like, yeah. Hey, we're doing some big things here real soon, so make sure y'all checking us out. Subscribe, comment, rate, like, share, tell a friend.
Also, listen to us every Wednesday and Saturday on Shaq Fu Radio. Don't miss that. Radio. Download the Shaq Fu Radio app or go to ShaqFuRadio.com. B-Dog, Houston, Book the Hook. We out.
Dundale P.
Make sure you comment, rate, and subscribe to the Drop Step Podcast on Apple Podcasts for iPhone use and Podbean for Android devices. You can also hear the podcast on Wednesdays and Saturday nights on the Shaq Fu Radio app.